Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're continuing today to talk about the New Covenant, the promises of the New Covenant, and all of these are real in our lives because of the greatest good news of all, and that's the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. His death ratified this new covenant, and in his resurrected life, all of these promises are made real to us. So last Friday, we talked about promise number 4, and I think this is the promise in which all the other promises rest. I mean, it's the foundation. It's basically the support for all the other three. And in Hebrews chapter 10, he says this: "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds." That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then he adds this: "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." Now that's promise number 4. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And he puts an exclamation point on that promise with these words: "And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." So what we want to do today is to talk about what that means for you and me. Application. It's not a matter of hearing what the Word of God has to say. It's hearing and doing. It's putting into practice what God has said. That becomes a solid foundation for our lives. Oftentimes we read the Word, we take it in, but we don't consider exactly what it means and how it should be lived out in our day-to-day lives. And I think this is one of those places that we don't spend enough time. We let our own understanding, kind of our human thinking in regards to sin and guilt, weigh in on this matter. And we don't really look to see exactly what this verse means and how it applies to us here and now. So we want to talk about that on today's broadcast. We want you to join with us to come in and be a part of the conversation. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. Call right now. We would love to hear from you. If you have some ideas, some thoughts as to what this promise means to you, how you've applied it in your day-to-day life, we want to hear from you on today's program. Again, the number 1-800-677-9377. So I'm going to read it again. Hebrews 10, 17 and 18. Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." Now, Richard, this is an incredible passage. The fact that he will remember our sins no more. In the Old Covenant, what was the Day of Atonement, as the writer of Hebrews wrote about right here at the beginning of this chapter? What did he say that was?
That was a chance for once a year, all the sins collected into the temple, into the tabernacle, could be cleansed away from the whole nation of Israel and taken out into the desert and lost. And for that one moment, God said, "I remember your sins no more." And it had it worked for a year. As every day they had sacrifices and they brought sin, they brought sin, they brought sin. Once a year, they took away that sin. But it couldn't be permanent because it was the blood of bulls and goats.
As a matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews said, but those sacrifices were an annual reminder of sins. It was just a reminder to the people of Israel that they were still separated from God. They were still in God's debt, so to speak, that it hadn't been paid in full.
Yeah.
Although they received some temporary forgiveness or release from their feelings.
Well, it was just a picture.
Absolutely. It was just a picture, but it was an annual reminder of sin. So every year they dredged up the sins and thought about them. God thought about them, but not in this new covenant. He remembers our sins no more. There is no longer a separation between God and man. That barrier was removed once and for all in Christ. We call that reconciliation, but that's been done. So there's nothing preventing God and man from coming back together in Jesus Christ. That's the good news. So that's one way that this verse applies in our lives. We no longer have to fear punishment for our sin. Jesus took it once and for all and removed the sin barrier. That's good news. Well, there's more to talk about, and we want you to join in on the conversation. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to call right now. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. A reminder to all of our listeners of a wonderful new resource that we have. It's called The New Covenant Journey. It is a Bible study guide, has 10 chapters in it. It goes over all of the basic elements of the gospel message. We start with the new covenant. The new covenant is kind of the subject in the Word of God that is all-encompassing. It encompasses all that Jesus is, all who he is, and all that he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so that is the theme that runs from start to finish. But we look at the deity of Christ. We look at the reliability of the Word of God. We look at the finished work of Jesus Christ. We look at the resurrection and what that means to us. And that is so overlooked in most Christian teaching today. Not so much the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, but asking the question, what does that mean for us here and now? We look at how do we live the Christian life. We're either going to do it through self-effort and trying to live up to rules and regulations, or we're going to do it by faith in the risen Christ himself. And then we look at our identity. We look at these three characteristics of the Christian life, faith, hope, and love, and how those begin to grow in each and every one of us as we understand more fully this new covenant that we live in. So that resource is available to you this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. This could be one of the most important resources that you've ever put your hands on, because it really forces you to open up the Word of God, to ask some questions, and get down to the application of it. Like I said, so often we color the Word of God with our own understanding. We input kind of our thinking and our feeling and our humanness into it. And that jades it. That makes it something different than what it really is. But with these questions that we have prepared, you will be able to just look at the Word of God for what it is and draw from the Word of God exactly what it says and how it's to be applied in day-to-day living. So take advantage of this wonderful offer. It's available at basicgospel.net. Right there on the home page, you can click the free, or the not the free offer, but the offer for the month, and all the information is right there. Or you can call our toll-free order line at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Well, right now, let's go to Staten Island, New York, and talk with Rose, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Rose.
Hi, how are you? It's wonderful. I used to read some books from Bob George, Pastor Bob George, and I hope that he's well. And actually, my question is regarding the civil wars. I know that God completely forgives us from wipes out everything we've ever done from the time we receive him, that he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, and we're no longer under that. We're now under his covering, his blood that he shed for us, and I'm grateful for that. However, sometimes I get a little confused, or maybe other people are making me confused, as far as how do we respond to the civil wars that we have here? And I know that they're really good and everything, but how does a Christian respond to them? in retrospect to God forgiving everything, I mean, do we just completely, you know, ignore what's going on as far as the civil laws are concerned?
Like here in the United States, our civil
laws? Like here in the United States. Yeah, our civil laws.
Well, I think as a believer in Christ, we certainly want to be, quote, law-abiding citizens.
Yeah.
Law-abiding citizens.
But the power of God's Spirit living in us, we're thinking on a higher plane than what civil law would bring us to think about.
Right.
You know, so I think if we will just abide in the resurrected Christ and allow Him to live His life through us, we're not going to have to worry about whether or not we're living up to the laws of the land. I think we're going to far exceed those.
I agree. Yeah. It's just that there's other situations, like another Christian's taking me in a lawsuit case. So, and I'm just defending, you know, of course, what God has given me to do and defending my, you know, my end of it.
Yeah.
But,
well, if
that
there's
was
a
not my decision, but, you know.
If there's a believer that is suing you, and you're a believer, the Word of God has information about that in 1 Corinthians 6. And so,
right.
I mean, it, you know, to do that with you as a believer, with Christ living in you, and this other person as a believer with Christ living in them, you should be able to work that out. You should be able to kind of draw upon the very mind of Christ to work it out and come to some solution.
Yeah.
No need to drag that into a secular court of law.
I agree.
But that's somebody doing that to you, and
yes.
that's just a shame that that's happened. But I think, you know, because they've dragged you into that, then, you know, you need to defend yourself.
Thank you.
So that's all you can do at that particular point, unless you can convince them to handle this outside of it. And if I'm in your shoes, that's what I would try to do with every ounce of strength in me.
That's what I've been doing, absolutely. And there's been no response to that. Actually, the response to that has been to, come into my room without permission, take things, and, agitate me as much as possible, and I'm trying to reach the person.
Yeah.
And convince them that's just not the thing to do.
Well, you just keep living out what the Spirit of God is working in you, what you know to be true based on the Word of God. You cannot control an outcome. And that's where we get all messed up in our relationships one with another. When we try to start controlling an outcome that's going to be dependent upon the choices of another person. We just have to let that go and trust God to do His work. And if we will rest in the fact that His outcome for us is going to be the best, I think we'll be okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Rose. Nice to hear from you today. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. 1-800-677-9377. Go ahead and call right now if you have a question about forgiveness of sins, about how this fourth promise of the new covenant applies to your life. We would love to hear from you. This is a critical subject, an important subject. It's one of those subjects that if you get a hold of it and you understand exactly what Christ has accomplished for you, then it's going to change the trajectory of your Christian life.
Yes. And Rose brings up an excellent situation without going into the details, which are none of our business. As a brother or sister in Christ, and something like this happens, my fleshly human desire is to fix it or to get even or to be angry or all of the normal things. And the fact that we are forgiven people means that even if we're wronged, we can forgive as we've been forgiven. If you don't understand that you're forgiven, there's no way for you to forgive someone who wrongs you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's ask this question. So we've come to Christ. We've received new life. We've been made new. We've been ushered into this new covenant. We know that we've received forgiveness of sins. But we all know that we're going to still blow it. We're still going to sin. We may tell a lie. We may, say something that is rude and unkind. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that we will do as believers in Christ. And all of those things are still labeled sin. What does the new covenant tell us to do with those sins? Do we need to do something to get more forgiveness?
Well, there is no more forgiveness. We've been given everything there is.
That's a shocking statement. What do you mean there is no more forgiveness?
Jesus died once.
He died once.
If there's more forgiveness to be obtained, he has to die again.
And he's not going to do that. He's not going to die again. So that's what we want to drive home with people, because our natural inclination is to say, okay, I've sinned. We normally ask the question, so what do I do with that sin? And, you know, there's formulas out there. We confess it, we repent of it, and then we ask God to forgive it. So if we will do those three things, confess it, repent of it, ask God to forgive it, then we can count on it being forgiven. Does any of that really matter as far as God is concerned?
No.
On the forgiveness side.
On the forgiveness side, no. But what's going on when you use a formula like that is that you are putting God in your debt. God now owes me. I confessed, I repented, and I asked. And if he doesn't forgive me, then the onus is on him. You know, and I'm in control. And God is the one who is in control. Every time God is in control. And so he initiates this forgiveness to us so that we can be honest with him and honest with each other and repair relationships rather than having this tit-for-tat kind of thing that we so often practice.
So what's, I think, so important for us to understand is that there is absolutely nothing that we can do to gain forgiveness. There's nothing that we can do. There was nothing that we can do. I mean, when we were lost, the only thing that we could do was receive what God had provided for us in Christ Jesus. Now that we're saved, we've been given forgiveness. Everyone who believes in Jesus' name receives forgiveness of sins. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:7 and also in Colossians 1:14. In him we have forgiveness.
Yes.
So there's nothing that we can do. There was nothing that we can do, and there still is nothing that we can do. Simply to say, Lord Jesus, thank you. He shed his blood. He's not going to shed his blood again. If we needed more forgiveness, he would have to shed his blood again, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we need to really embrace that. We really need to take that in and let that kind of percolate through our system, because when we do, it changes us. Now, there are people out there hearing this saying, you're just telling people they can go out and do anything they want. I'm not telling them that at all. What I'm telling them is that Jesus shed his blood once and for all, and he's not going to shed it again. Either we trust that or we don't. That's our only option. We can't add to it. We can't say, God, I really appreciate it, but you know, it would make me feel a whole much better if you would allow me to do this, this, and this, so that I can feel forgiven.
Yeah.
That doesn't change the fact. We've got to look at it from a legal sense. We were dragged into God's courtroom. We were found to be guilty. And God looked at every single sin, not just some, every single one that we were to commit from start to finish. And Jesus said, I'm going to die for everyone. And the punishment that we deserved went upon Jesus. And then when we come to him by faith, that punishment is applied to us. We die in Christ, we're buried in Christ, and then we're raised to new life in Christ. And so it's done. So as far as forgiveness is concerned, it's a done deal. As Jesus said, it is finished. So the question isn't, what should we do when we sin? The question is, what did God do with our sin? And that's what this new covenant answers. It answers that question. Jesus became the once for all sacrifice. And where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. So God isn't requiring us to do something in order to gain more forgiveness. Now, does that mean when we sin, there are not human feelings associated with that? Absolutely not. When I sin, man, it hurts my soul deeply. It really does. Why? Because I'm seeing sin through the lens of God's grace. God's grace rescued me from something that was so devastating that it was going to kill me eternally. It was going to put me in a position where I was going to be eternally separated from God. And when I see it through that lens, the only thing my heart can cry out is, Lord Jesus, thank you. And then the other aspect of it, my sin has brought pain into the life of another individual. It has hurt somebody. And for the most part, it's hurt the people that I love the most, like my wife and my kids and the people that I work with. When I sin, it has dire consequences in the lives of those people that sin touches. And man, that pains me from the depths of my soul. And I cry out, Lord, teach me how to walk in love so that won't happen again. Thank you that your forgiveness is there. Thank you that kindness is enabling me to look at my sin for what it is and to judge it for what it is and to count on you to free me from that, free me from the power of it so that love can flow through into the life of another individual. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm not sitting there saying, here's what I'm going to do, and I hope that it'll be good enough that this sin can be wiped away just like the past ones were. I'm thanking God that the blood of Jesus took them all, every single one of them. That's the good news of this. That's why it's so important for us to latch on to it. And the fact that the Christian world as a whole hasn't really embraced this and walked by faith in it is the reason that we see so much problem in the Christian world, so many problems out there. There's problems that we judge one another and we lash out at each other and we're angry at each other. Why? Because we're treating one another in exactly the same way we believe God is treating us.
Yep.
We believe he is demanding us to come with him and beg and plead and all of those things. And because we believe that about God, we're demanding it from everyone else. But once we recognize that it's finished, it's done, it's over, that the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient, and we trust it, that's what this is all about, is driving you, compelling you to trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what this message is all about. And when we're there, we will see the love of God start flowing through us, fluid, smoothly, easily. Why? Because we finally received the love of Christ for us as it was spelled out in forgiveness, total, once and for all, forgiveness of sins. That's basic gospel. We sure appreciate you joining us on today's program. Remind you of our wonderful offer, the New Covenant Journey, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, a gift of $10, a gift of $25, a gift of $100 will help connect many more people to the love of Jesus Christ and to this forgiveness that is theirs in Christ Jesus. Can you stand with us? And if you do, we want to say thank you by sending you this wonderful resource, a New Covenant Journey, a fabulous Bible study that will really help you in your journey with Christ. All the information on how to contribute to Basic Gospel is on our website at basicgospel.net. Well, for Richard and for the whole Basic Gospel team, this is Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow.